Here with Phil Sims at the Broncos team hotel in San Diego. And Phil, you just got out of production meetings. Was it nice catching up with Joe D a little bit there?
Yeah, that's right. Joe D. Let's see, that was 1993 where we met each other with the New York Giants. And we had a great year that year. And, of course, his father-in-law, Dan Reeves, was a head coach. And we were close. We took a team that we didn't think was very good, went 11-5. And we almost pulled off some good stuff, but whatever. But that's when our relationship started, and I'm excited to watch him coach the team tomorrow night.
What do you think the team's mentality is like going into the game without their leader?
Well, you know, I think sometimes in situations like this, I think the coaching staff that's under Gary Kubiak and the players, they feel a responsibility. They want to make the coach proud of them for doing what he wants them to do when he's not there. You know, it's almost like a father-son and your children's relationship. So I think the team – I'm not saying this has given the team an added boost, but I think the team will absolutely be ready to play.
Question marks about Trevor Siemian. He injured his non-throwing shoulder. How much does that impact what a quarterback's trying to do out there?
Well, look, when something hurts on your body, I don't care where it is, it hurts. And, you know, you feel it. But, you know, I think whatever they do before the game or how they handle it, I think he'll be able to handle it pretty well. You know, they missed him last week. It was a tough spot for Paxton Lynch. You know, I kind of felt bad for him making the first start and the protection and, you know, listen, I know for a young quarterback, any quarterback, when it starts to go bad, you kind of lose your rhythm. So, but Trevor Siemian being back in the lineup is a big plus for the Broncos offense. And I just talking to him and listening, I don't think there'll be any difficulties in him throwing the football. And, you know, look, those first 4 weeks, I thought he threw the football very well.
It's a quick turnaround for the team, but for you personally, broadcasting on Thursday night and then turning around Sunday night, how hard is the Thursday night game for your broadcast crew?
Well, Thursday's easy because I get one extra day to do it, but, you know, it's 2 days of really intense, just like for the teams, of really intense studying, and now today you try to put all the stuff together and kind of figure out what you think the game plan is going to be for both teams. So, hey, look, it's work like anything. Nobody gives money away, so we work hard for it, but when we sit in the booth, and the game is getting ready to start, you realize it's all worth it because you get to feel the excitement of the football game and be part of it.
Denver 28, San Diego 24. Four-man rush in the pocket. He throws. Ball is intercepted on the sideline. Down the sideline. This is going to be Chris Harris. He is walking into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
Manning quick snap. Five-man pressure. He sits. He throws. He wants Stokely in the corner of the end zone. Stokely goes up. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Denver.
Who could have forgot that comeback victory by the Broncos? That was their last primetime game here at Qualcomm. Broncos down 24-0 at halftime. Came back and won that game 35-24. Mace, were you here for that one?
Of course I was. Oh, it was tremendous. And I'll tell you, the Broncos were 2-3 going into that game, and that was right at the start of the Peyton Manning era. And what I will always remember is social media, at least the social media that was directed at me on Twitter, fans were besieging me with a fusillade of they shouldn't have brought in Manning, they should have kept Tebow messages. And then, of course, the second half goes out, happens. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. Defense gets 2 touchdowns. And really, I think that night launched the Broncos on what we remember as the Peyton Manning era to three-plus years of success, a Super Bowl title, and another AFC title going to a Super Bowl. Tremendous, and I think it really started that night.
Yeah, that was an incredible night, really spurred that string of success for the Broncos. Peyton Manning, you mentioned, had a tremendous night that night. Broncos hoping for something similar, at least from Trevor Siemian.
Yes, well, yeah, Siemian, he was limited this week, but he was throwing the football, and I watched him out here in warm-ups just behind me about a half hour ago. Looked to be throwing the ball well, a lot of strength, a lot of zip, good tight spirals. Well, the only thing that I noticed is the arm placement on his non-throwing arm, of course, because he's got the left shoulder injury, was a little bit lower than it had been before, but certainly the ball was getting from A to B, a lot of zip. He looks ready to go.
Yeah, and then you heard from Phil Sims earlier right there, right, talking about what kind of impact that'll have. Just any sort of injury to a quarterback can kind of affect his delivery. Hopefully, maybe some extra padding in there that could help Siemian tonight.
Well, we know how much an extra year helped him, right, as far as experience. We saw last week how big of a difference that year does make. Paxton Lynch struggling a little bit, of course, against the Atlanta Falcons. So we know Siemian has such a great grasp of the huddle. We know he's got such a great grasp of the playbook. But now we finally get to see how he responds from his first major NFL injury. If you ask Trevor Siemian, though, he's not worried about it.
I don't think you can think about it too much, to be honest with you. I think you got to protect yourself whenever you play. But when you're playing, and obviously you're conscious of it. But you're trying to protect yourself anytime you go out there. So I don't think it'll change my mindset too much.
We've had them both out there, and everybody. Hopefully, we'll get a bunch of guys healthy. You know, it is a short week, but we had some guys that didn't play on Sunday. So hopefully, we'll have a bunch of them healthy. But we'll let Greek take care of that.
I think one of the biggest keys for the Broncos is going to be keeping Trevor Siemian clean. Hopefully that offensive line can bounce back from what was a tough week last week.
Yeah, protection will be key. Paxton Lynch last week sacked 6 times in his first career start. They're going to have to do a little bit better tonight against the Chargers.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that's going to be having Donald Stevenson back, of course. He had full practice Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It looked like he's ready to go coming off the calf injury. But it hasn't just been about pass protection. You need Donald Stevenson out there to help in the ground game as well. The Broncos, their running backs and fullback Andy Janovich averaged 5.1 yards per carry with Stevenson out there, 3.5 yards per carry since then. If they can get Stevenson back, it's going to help tremendously.
Yeah, the duo of C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker last week, just 84 yards against those Falcons.
Yeah, it was a tough weekend for the Broncos run game as a whole. We talked about it on 3 and Out earlier this week. Getting the running game going is going to be instrumental. I think Devontae Booker has done a good job kind of progressing and kind of moving towards a 1A type back. He's not there yet. He's hopefully going to get there. But I think in order to get those two guys going, like you mentioned, getting those big pieces back like Virgil Green, like Donald Stevenson, are going to be key here tonight.
Yeah, and the Chargers have the 8th best run defense in the entire NFL. Mace, what is the key to getting that run game going? I mean, is it just blocking or is it a mix of everybody?
A mix of everybody. I mean, some of it, sometimes you don't have the holes, but you've got to fall forward. You got to be able to make plays where they're not there, you know, instead of getting no gain, you know, burrow your way forward for a 2-yard gain. That's something I think you want to see. And then when the holes are there, you've got to get to them and make sure you can turn them into those explosive plays. There's been a few times where the running backs had some room to run, ankle tackled, so it was only a 5 or 6 yard gain instead of a 10, 12, 14 yard gain. So you've got to maximize the opportunities. It's on everybody. That's something you hear from the O-line and the running backs. It's not on one group. It's on all of them.
I know it's been frustrating for the Broncos the past few weeks, but the Broncos running back duo is determined to get things going here tonight.
We just want to find a way to run the ball. You know, we haven't answered the bell the way we want to, and, you know, we'll get that opportunity this Thursday to answer the bell the way we want to, and it's all of us from staff to running backs to up front. It's all of us.
I think we did okay. We can definitely pick it up and, you know, just run through open holes and get better and just, you know, running confident. So I think we'll get better on that this week. You know, more snaps, I'll get out there, feel more confident and get into more of a rhythm better.
A positive running game is certainly going to be important for the Broncos. And now let's find out what else will be important for the Broncos tonight. Our favorite part of the show, Mace's three keys.
Well, you always build it up. I don't know if I can live up to it.
Of course you can, Mace.
Number one, then, pressure Phillip Rivers. It's something the Broncos have done well over the years. Von Miller in particular, he has 11 sacks of Phillip Rivers in 10 games against him going back to 2011. And the Broncos, they're doing a good job getting to the opposing quarterback, a sack rate of 10.2%, you know, of all the pass plays. That's best in the league, so they got to keep that up against Rivers. Number two, find offensive balance. We talked about the run game, getting that going. You really have to go back to week 1 to see a game where the Broncos really had that nice run-pass balance and were effective in both areas where one could set up the other. Of course, that was a primetime game. Maybe you get it going tonight, back in primetime again. And number three, win the turnover battle. San Diego, 1-10 in its last 11 games when losing in turnover margin. 20 points against the Chargers in the last 2 games have come directly off giveaways. The Chargers lead the league in fumbles lost. The Broncos have won 26 in a row when winning in turnover margin. So if they can do that, they can get the Chargers to put the ball on the ground again. They should be in position to win, guys.
Mace, you mentioned it. Ball security is going to be very, very instrumental here tonight. I think the Broncos are going to get a huge piece back that will help in that on the offensive side of the ball, and that is Virgil Green. We had a chance to catch up with the Broncos tight end at the team hotel yesterday. Broncos just arriving to the team hotel in San Diego. Lucky to be joined now by tight end Virgil Green. And Virg, this is your return. You've been rehabbing from injury. What's it like finally landing in San Diego? And on the eve of your return, how do you feel?
I feel great. You know, it's definitely exciting. I'm from California, so, you know, I'm going to have some family here tomorrow. And anytime I play in California, I'm juiced up all the time.
Well, I can tell you're motivated because I know we've seen you out at practice. We've seen you working towards the rehab. Tell us what that's been like and how anxious have you been just to get back on the field?
Extremely anxious. You know, my nerves have been all over the place. You know, this is football, is something I do, something I love. And when it's taken away from me, you realize how much you truly love the grind of everything that comes with football. So I'm excited to be out there tomorrow. You know, got a chance to be with the guys this week and get back in the huddle, get back in the offense, hear the plays, and I'm definitely excited.
How much different has this week been? I know Coach Kubiak isn't on this trip with you guys. How does that change things for you guys?
It doesn't change too much. Just not having Kubiak there and his, you know, his swagger and what he brings to the table. But for the most part, we've prepared the way we typically do, try to keep everything the same, and go out there and execute just like we typically do all the time.
Last one for us. This is a veteran locker room that you guys have. You guys are coming off of a loss. How much does that help as you guys go into a short week? And coming off of a loss, how much do you lean on that veteran leadership?
I think it shows, you know, having that loss, it shows we're not impervious. You know, we can go out there. You can lose if you're not on top of your game. And, you know, this week we were a little more detailed and focus and making sure we're doing all the little things that we need to do to combat the loss and come out with a victory Thursday.
I know we like seeing Virgil back on the field. He's a great guy to have in the building, but I know these players love to see him as well. Six seasons in the NFL, that's not huge veteran numbers like DeMarcus Ware. However, I think he's felt just as much in those offensive huddles before the game. You see the team being broken down by him in those big huddles, and I think that just having his presence in that offensive huddle will go a long way today.
Yeah, most definitely. He's clearly one of the favorites in the locker room amongst all his Broncos teammates. And Virgil Green also is one of the players who really likes these color rush uniforms. That the Broncos will wear tonight. He said that ever since they came out on Madden that he's been playing with the Broncos like that. Here's a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at how the Broncos equipment staff got ready for tonight's uniforms.
I have a feeling it's going to be well-received. Everybody seems to love the logo, so it kind of tied together well with the design of the new pant and jersey, so it's a cohesive look. I hope it goes over well. I think they're a bold statement. I'll say that. They definitely are going to make a statement. Same helmet color with the old logo, which by league rule we can't change the helmet shell color. But it actually does look really good on the navy blue. It's tough, but it helps to actually have a shortened time frame, I think, because, I don't know, you just rally through it quicker and you don't think about it. I do like the orange. Like I said, it's bold.
It was a busy week for that equipment staff. Very tedious putting all the new Ds on all the helmets, getting all the orange stuff ready to go. It's not just the players that will be in the color rush stuff. It's also the entire staff that's on the sidelines wearing orange polos. Mace, what do you think of the color?
I like the jerseys. I like the pants. I absolutely love the helmet with the old school D logo on that. That's my favorite all-time Broncos uniform. I'm still not sure about the whole orange jerseys and orange pants together. I saw Riley Dixon come out for warm-ups. He had on an orange t-shirt. He had on the orange pants and the orange socks that are orange from the top of the, you know, from knee to foot. And a lot of these guys have orange shoes. And I just thought, whoa, that is a lot of orange. But, you know, monochromatic looks they're in. But I think there's a lot of good elements to this uniform. I like the three stripes on the sleeve. I like the stripes on the helmet. It's generally a positive. And fans seem to love it because they've already been buying the Color Rush jerseys. And I look in the stands, and I see people have their new Color Rush jerseys on. So everyone's buying into it. It's a lot of fun.
Of course, we're expecting a lot of Broncos fans here at Qualcomm tonight. Well, we heard Chris Valenti, their equipment manager, saying right. It's a bold look. What do you think, man?
I love it. I like Mays, really like that old style D logo that the Broncos used to rock back in the 80s and the early 90s. I think it's a classic look, as Mays just mentioned. Some of these big offensive linemen, though, in all orange, it's very creamsicle-y on some of them. But I do think that this the fans have really liked it. You can see we see a Chris Harris Jr. Jersey over our shoulder, as Mace just mentioned. But I do like the look. I think it's great. And who knows? Maybe this allows the Broncos to maybe think creatively in the future for Thursday night games as to maybe you switch up the logo. It's a nice look. I do like the old horse head logo that we usually rock, but this is a pretty great thing.
CJ Anderson said he thinks he looks like a pumpkin. Of course, Halloween is it.
Right. Yeah, so that's great. I have a four-year-old, so I hear Halloween, Halloween, Halloween every time I go home. So maybe it's a good chance, a good time to look like a pumpkin. And,
there you go.
But definitely the offensive linemen look more like pumpkins than CJ.
Okay, well, we'll see if he looks like a pumpkin out there. Let's revisit this week's trivia question now. Of course, we gave it to you. Let me remind you here, Von Miller has had a sack in 6 consecutive regular season games. Dating back to last season, Miller is the 3rd fastest player in NFL history to get to 70 career sacks. That includes playoffs. But who are the 2 players to get there faster, Mays?
2 guys who have played for Wade Phillips as Von Miller has. It's Reggie White and J.J. Watt.
White, of course, a career sacks leader. He got there in 57 games. That is truly incredible. And then J.J. Watt, 76 games. So a truly incredible feat for those guys. Von Miller certainly following in some very legendary footsteps there. But we've reached that point in the show. Our final thought, Mace?
Protect Trevor Siemian. You know, the 10 sacks allowed in the last 2 games, that's just not going to get it done. You've got to keep the Chargers out of the backfield. Joey Bosa caused some problems last Sunday with a couple of sacks. You've got to know where he is at all times. Give Trevor Siemian time to throw. You don't want him taking the kind of hit that he had in Tampa Bay that knocked him out last week.
I'm going to go with the emotional route. I think that the Broncos said, Wade Phillips said, they're going to dedicate this game to their head coach, Gary Kubiak. Get out there. You know that Kube wants them to play hard, play for them. We heard Phil Simms say it's kind of like a father-son type relationship there. Go out there and make him proud, and let's see if the Broncos can get the victory for Kube tonight.
Yeah, that would be great. And for me, my final thought, set the tone early. So many times this season we've seen that the Broncos have given up an early touchdown on defense. Hopefully a tone is set early on. I thought last week against the Falcons, the Broncos never could really recover after that first drive. Set the tone early. Take the crowd out of it. There's going to be plenty of orange in the stands, and hopefully the Broncos come away with a win on Thursday night. But that'll do it for us here for now on the field. Be sure to tune in on DenverBroncos.com. After the game, we'll have interim head coach Jodeed Camillus' comments as well as Trevor Siemian at the podium. But for now, for Andrew Mason, Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. Enjoy the game, everybody. It's Thursday Night Football.
The Broncos travel to San Diego to play on Thursday Night Football against the 1-4 Chargers. After a disappointing Week 5 loss, the reigning AFC West champions face their first divisional test against quarterback Philip Rivers.
Looks right, throws to the left side, touchdown.
Although Rivers has thrown for over 1,400 yards and 11 touchdowns, the Chargers have been outperformed in the fourth quarter.
Snap goes off the fingertips of Kieser. It's rolling around.
The Broncos' pass rush looks to continue their aggressive pursuit of opposing teams' quarterbacks.
Four-man rush. Here comes Von Miller. He's got him. Von Miller with the sack back at the 29-yard line.
It's about who wanted more tonight. Now what you gonna do? And we gonna hit him in the mouth.
Through 5 games, the no-fly zone has earned respect around the league and has shut down several of the top-flight receivers.
It's going to be intercepted. Tlaib has it again. Tlaib's got his second in the game.
C.J. Anderson and the Denver rushing attack look to excite Broncos country as they face off against a tough Chargers defense.
C.J. to the goal line. C.J. Anderson has a Denver touchdown.
Under the bright lights in San Diego, the battle for the West starts tonight.